Consider the words of Psalm 27, which says, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord." And it says, "Happy is a man who is his quiver full of them." Children are a blessing from God. They are a tremendous blessing from God. Although sometimes we forget that. And the reason we forget that is because they get underfoot, don't they? If you're trying to do something and they want attention, sometimes they're right there and they get underfoot and you're trying to accomplish a job. And then I was commenting to the Rathbuns as I was thinking the other day. I said to myself, you know, these children are a lot of work, and we've got four of them. You constantly have to be on them to clean the room. You constantly have to be on them to do their homework, not to fight, not to backtalk. They're a lot of work. Then on top of that, you got to make sure that they mow the yard just right. Because if they don't, then you know that you're going to have to do something about that. They're going to owe you like a gallon of ice cream or something. We're not quite that mean, at least as far as you know. Don't ask them. At the same time, our children are just a joy, a tremendous joy. Indeed, for us, they are a heritage from the Lord. You probably think about your own children that way too. Whatever children are here at Park Lane Baptist Church, whether they're your children or not, whatever children are that perhaps are grown, or now the grandchildren, maybe for some of you the great-grandchildren, whatever they are, in the end, you know the joy it is to have them. We see the joy it is for these kids. Here at Vacation Bible School, I tell you what, this week at Vacation Bible School is a lot of work. Everyone that's involved, they come around Friday, you know what we're all going to say? I'm glad that's over with. Why? Well, we did not unenjoy it, but it's a lot of work. Now, we cheated this year. This year, we may not say that. We cheated and brought somebody else in to do all the work. So that's kind of nice break for us. But at the same time, there's still planning that took place. There's still things that we'll all be involved with. Well, I have to get after the children. Shh, listen. Not to the rain. I'm talking about the kids listening to Brother Silcott. Tell them, shh, listen. Here, memorize a verse. Do the worksheets. Let me help you. No, quit fighting. Quit arguing. You stand over there. Do I have to sit between you two? Don't make me pull this over. There'll be a lot of that. Why? Why do we do all that work? Why do we hassle with all these kids? I tell you what, look at the ministries we have here. We have Sunday school. Well, Sunday school is for big people too. If you're not in Sunday school, you're missing out. We learned about prayer over at the house. We learned about Ephesians over here. Ladies, they learned, they better learn their lesson. They're going to have to do it again. The ladies learn their lesson as well. It's a great blessing. And the children, we do it to help the children as well. Minister to them. Not only do we have that, we love the children so much that when it comes to big church, we kick them out. We send them downstairs to junior church. Why do we do that? Because we want to minister to them in a way that they can comprehend. I work hard at making sure that I say the words that I don't say to my pastor friends. You understand what they mean, but you haven't a clue what the word is. Why? You didn't go to Bible college. That's okay. You don't have to know the big words. They're helpful. But I try to bring them down so that way you can understand them. And these kids, we take them downstairs and minister to them downstairs. We have Awana on Tuesday nights. Not now, because of summer break. But we have Awana on Tuesday nights. Thursday, we have the teens. Oh, we got a big ministry for our youth, don't we? Not only that, we got camp and we got retreats and special activities. Why do we do this? Because Jesus loves children. And we need to have a heart for children. Some of you, God has gifted with an ability with kids. Some of you have a childlike mind and can really interact well. Some of you, though, you think kids are very enjoyable to watch over there. God has given us different abilities and different interests. As some of you, maybe when you're younger, really enjoy children. As you've gotten older, you look at Vacation Bible School and more than happy to help with cooking or bringing snacks or something that way, but you don't really have the interest of interacting with the kids so much. Don't feel terrible about that, even though you should. No, no. God has designed you differently. God's designed you differently. But we all must have a heart for children. Watch here in Matthew chapter 18. Look at verses 3 and 4 in Matthew 18. It says, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Here, Jesus, he speaks about the children. And we see in, a little later in chapter 19 that the people, the parents were bringing their children saying, "Here, Lord, I want you to bless my children." And the disciples said, "Don't bother him, don't bother him." And Jesus gets after him. Look there in chapter 19, look in verse 14. It says, "Let the little children come to me. Do not forbid them, for of such..." Of these little kids is the children of heaven. That doesn't mean the children of heaven, the kingdom of heaven is just filled with all kinds of little kids. It's reference to what he talks about in chapter 18. What is that? It talks about humble faith. Humble faith. We have to have humble faith. He says here, unless you are converted... Unless you are converted as a and become as a little child. He's talking about a humble faith. The conversion there is not the word for repentance, turning from your sin. But in definition is very close to it. It talks about turning around. We see a number of times, almost exclusively, except for right here, exclusively, it is referenced to physically turning the body. Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Satan, get behind me." The word is to turn the other cheek. Physical turning. In the book of Acts, though, you see the word used as turning the heart. We need to turn our hearts to the Lord. You see, you must have a humble faith, the humble faith of a child to be saved, which means turning from our own ways to God's way. Think about a little child and how they think. Remember you told them about the Tooth Fairy, and you told them about Santa Claus and their Easter Bunny, and what did they do? They believed every word, didn't they? You liar. Tell your kids those kinds of things. I told our kids, we've known from the beginning that it's a Santa Daddy, or Daddy Claus. And then the Tooth Fairy is the Daddy Fairy. I don't like that one very much, but they from the get-go they've learned some of the things, and so it's interesting when you go shopping around Christmas season, and the person there will say, "So what's Santa gonna bring you?" And our kids say, "Nothing." Every family makes their decision on the things that they do that way, and that's up to them. It's kind of a fun thing to do. I remember when I was in Greece, when my dad was stationed there in the country of Greece, and I was 5 or 6 years old, and I had a serious issue going on in my life. It was nearing Christmas time, and being Americans, we had to live on the bottom floor. We have no prestige in Greece, so we have to live on the bottom floor. And in the bottom floor where we live, there was no chimney. Well, we're in an apartment building, there's no chimney in the whole place. And there's no chimney, so you know what that means. So I asked my mother, I said, "How are we going to get presents?" I just kind of come to the place where he's just not going to visit us. And she let me know how that happens. Santa slides under the door. So now I figured it out. How does Santa Claus come? He comes under the door. So now I knew how Santa Claus come when you're in Greece in the basement and have no chimney. And guess what? I believed it. Every word of it. It made sense to me. It kind of. How do you get a guy like that to fold himself up like an envelope and slide under the door with your presence that are like, can he get in the door in the first place? I don't know. Their trust is so magnificent, isn't it? You can tell kids anything and they'll believe you for the most part. And that's something you could take advantage of and come up with some fanciful stories. Kids always know when I come up with some fanciful story, they want to know how something works or why something works. They quit asking me now. I remember when Calvin and Hobbes, I take after Calvin's father, Calvin and Hobbes, a cartoon where Calvin and his pet tiger Hobbes. Calvin asks his dad, he says, the pictures were black and white. And so why was that? And so his dad explained, no, the color, the photographs were actually color. The world was black and white. And then as time progressed, more and more color started to show up in the universe. And so, of course, Calvin buys the whole thing. And, you know, I kind of pride myself after that. I usually, though, tell it fanciful enough and long enough until the kids realize that it's a bunch of baloney. Why do I do that? Because it's fun. You know, though, in all seriousness, when it comes to the truth, I make sure I tell them the truth. I don't want them to actually believe the goofy stories I will tell them. I want them to understand the truth. And I want them to trust the truth. We have to be like those children who trust anything. You're here today, and of whoever you are, if you haven't asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you have to come to the point where you realize that this Bible, God's Word, is true. You have to recognize everything He says about you, that He created you. Everything that He says about you, that even though He created man to be perfect because of sin, because of our sinful nature and the sinful things that we do, we can't go to heaven. That sounds ridiculous, doesn't it? Well, it's not that ridiculous. If you steal from a store and are caught, guess what happens? You get punished, right? Why would we think it's any different with God? If we sin, guess what? We get punished. And because He's an eternal and infinite God, that punishment is eternal and infinite. We must understand that He still loves us to the point that He sent His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, to pay the penalty for our sin. And so that when we put our trust in Him, our unreserved trust, not in the ideas that we come up with or we've heard, but in God's Word, and in Jesus Christ, that He came, died for my sin, came back to life 3 days later, purchasing a place for me in heaven. When we accept that truth and put our full trust in it, He saves us. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. We must have the humble faith as a child to be saved. But now, most of you, if not all of you here, have made that decision. But there's still a truth here for you. Keep trusting God. Keep a childlike faith in God's promises. I find it just almost hilarious how that I can trust God for my eternal destiny. But when it comes the things being tight at home, when it comes to my personal health or the health of somebody else, when it comes to the cares and concerns of what's happening here in America, with your health care plan, with the finances of the country, with all of that, with the uprising of North Korea and now Syria as well as Iran, I can fear. Now you tell me if that makes sense. I will trust God wholeheartedly for my salvation. And yet the other things in my life that I can't a lot of times do much about, I fret about. How should I not have faith and trust Him for those things? But it's true with all of us, isn't it? We all have times we worry, contrary to the Scriptures, that we fear in a way we should not, because we don't trust Him the way we should. Listen, that childlike faith should not disappear from us. We need to know His Word, trust His Word and His promises, and live accordingly to it. Here we find, not only do we find these children here are converted. Now it says, lest you become like one of these children. They're an illustration of faith, that we should have this simple faith to trust Him. We need to understand that we should have a young faith. Or not, we should have a young faith. Understand the faith of the young. There is a young faith. The gospel and God's word is not for big people. Not alone. It's for little people as well. Do you see that? He says here, you look here in verse, all the way down in verse 10. Verse 8 of chapter 18. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. There's some question what that means. Does that mean that these have a particular audience with God? A direct connection between the child and God, so that way as the child has a need, the angel can relay the request to God, who knows it anyway. And so is it talking about the guarding of the children that way, or is it talking about God has right at hand those messengers to protect and take care of little children? That's a curious question. I don't know that we can finally resolve that. I know that in the Scriptures, the only appeal to God is from God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and man directly. I see that. So angels also, they have a ministry of being God's hands, God's work. So I wonder if the second is true of that. Regardless, he points out the fact that these children, that sometimes we kind of think are underfoot sometimes we think they're brats, sometimes they are brats. These children that way are very special to Him. We need to remember that. And continuing on, He gives them a picture. He says, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. If you have the NIV, you have that. It's in Luke chapter 19, verse 10. It appears that in the manuscripts that this had been borrowed from Luke as time had gone by. The earlier manuscripts don't have that there. The NIV, you find it in the bottom, on the bottom margin of your Bible. That little explanation as why the one follows the other. In verse 12, what do you think? If a man has 100 sheep and one of them goes astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains to seek the one that is straying? And if he should find it, assuredly I say to you, he rejoices more than the sheep, over that sheep more than the 99 that did not go astray. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven. Now, we usually use this reference to winning the lost, which is true. And we think about those people, usually adults, because we're adults, those adults who get saved. And while y'all are important, and need spiritual nourishment from God's Word privately and corporately, and as we encourage one another in the faith, there are people out there that aren't going to heaven. And while it's exciting when one of you, you know, does something, makes a decision for the Lord, you know, I'm going to start doing this in my life to honor the Lord, or doing that in my life, you know, read my Bible every day, or I'm going to start making sure that I avoid a certain sin that's been taking me captive. Those are great and tremendous. But what a wonderful joy it is when we talk to an adult and they get saved. That's a great joy. Listen to what he said here, though. I didn't finish that verse. Even so, it is not the will of your Father who is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. This parable is about children. Do you see that we ought to have a burden for children? The nice thing about the gospel is that the gospel is simple enough for a child to understand. Here's a picture. This picture is a picture that Veronica made. Unprompted, she just, you know, she was painting and decided to paint a picture. Let me explain this picture to you and why I have that on my computer. You see the red there? Or let me start with the black. You know what that black is? That black is her sin. She's explaining the picture to me. I said nothing about this whatsoever. That black there, that's a sin. That red, you know what that is, she tells me? That's Jesus' blood that paid for her sin. I forget what the blue is, if that's blue or purple, whatever it is. I don't remember what that is. The white, you know what that is? That's what Jesus did, washed her white as snow. From my Bible, if you recall, it was December 21st, 2012. I have it written down here. Veronica asked Jesus to be her Savior. I find it fascinating that the scriptures are, the gospel is so simple that even by the grace of God, a, at the time, 5-year-old could understand it. Isn't that amazing? That's a good thing because while you might think otherwise, I'm not necessarily the brightest bulb in the toolbox. You realize that God knows us, that he says, I have to simply communicate my word to them. It is profound enough that as we took a kind of airplane or a space shuttle or a rocket ship through the book of Romans and in Sunday school, that it took Paul 11 chapters and thus several weeks to get through the explanation of the gospel. That's how profound it is, but simple enough a 6-year-old can understand. I asked her even this last week about it. Was it this week or the week before? I even asked her again because, you know, when little children accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, even adults, you want to reconfirm their faith. I asked her if she's going to heaven, and she said, yes. I said, why? And so she ended up telling me because what Jesus did for her. I enjoy hearing those things. The gospel is simple enough for a child to understand. We have to say it in such a way that we're not detracting from it. We're not saying, well, you need to ask Jesus into your heart. Now, there's a theological truth to that, but asking Jesus into your heart is not the gospel message. The gospel message is, I'll tell you the 5 things, heaven is a free gift. It's not something we earn or deserve. Man is a sinner, and his sin separates him from God. God is greater than all, and he loves us so much, but he must punish our sin. That's why the bride of Christ, Jesus, came to pay the penalty for my sin, came back to life so I could go to heaven. And all I need is the smallest little bit of thing, faith. Jesus says, if you had the faith of a mustard seed, if I ask Jesus, trusting in what he has done for me, ask him to forgive me for my sin, ask him to be my Savior, believing that Jesus paid the full penalty for my sin on the cross and rose from the dead, if I put my trust in him, I'll go to heaven. This week, some of you will have the blessed opportunity to tell that to a child. If you have not planned to work on Vacation Bible School, but you know what? You still can sign up. We always can use help, whether it's just to sit next to the kids and tell them, shh, because sometimes we need a lot of that. You come up after work and you volunteer to help. Others have designated things that they're doing. Biggest thing perhaps you could be doing is praying. Praying for us as workers, praying for Brother Silcott and Jane and Caleb as they are ministering to us, praying for the kids that they will understand and believe. Finally, recognize that God draws and knows the faith of a child. He says in chapter 19, in verses 13 and 14, It says there that the little children were brought to him that he might put their hands on him and pray, but the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus says, let the little children come to me. Don't forbid them. Directly here speaking about the blessing that they desired. I believe it's true of the gospel message as well. God draws us. I was 7 years old when God saved me. Some of you were 40, some of you were little children, whatever time it may have been, God drew you to Him. You recognized that, and you asked Him to be your Savior. Tonight, or this morning, I encourage you to, having seen what the way Jesus speaks about kids, as an example of the faith that we should have, but often don't demonstrate, I encourage you to build your faith to be childlike. I further encourage you to be involved and do an immediate involvement with Vacation Bible School in some way. Whether you're praying for us at home during the program, or you're maybe coming, those that could be here at 5:30 will be here at 5:30 in order to pray for the kids, pray for the program that night. Prayer is a tremendous thing. You're going to invite kids. It's not too late to invite kids. Invite them to come. All week long we're going to tell the kids, invite friends. They're worth 500 points. They get enough points to get a cow. Isn't that exciting? Wouldn't you want a cow? They're looking forward to a cow. So they're all excited about getting, we're going to get them excited about getting cows. And then if they're good enough, if they get enough points to get a steer on top of that, that'd be fantastic. You can do that work as well, inviting kids to come. Not only inviting them to come, but if you participate with all your heart, remembering these kids, as undisciplined as some of them will be, are loved by Christ. These kids need Jesus. These kids need an example in you. You are those ones that are ministering to them. Heavenly Father, as we close this morning, I pray, Almighty God, that You would help us, that we would recognize Your love for children. You and Your Word have demonstrated the importance, have demonstrated Your concern for children. I thank You that You have made Your love, Your gift of eternal life, so simple that a little child can understand it. And yet, Father, how profound it is that its mystery is so tremendous that even as adults, we look at it in awe. I thank You, Father, for that. I thank You that You have these men and women that are here today, and that You are building in them a heart for children, a burden to see children come to know You as their Savior. I ask that as we minister to the children, that also we have opportunity to minister to the families as a whole, that we would see great things happen. I ask, dear God, that You would work mightily in our own life, that we might maintain that humble faith that we need to have, and yet at the same time be sharing the gospel for others that are young, that their young faith may be turned to you. I pray, Father, this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.